Welcome to the Deep Dive, the place where we cut through complexity to give you the essential knowledge you need fast. Today, we're doing exactly that. We're opening up the hood of a really unique piece of software called MAU. Now, if you're thinking high-cost proprietary tools, well, this isn't it. MAU is open source. It's a powerful, multi-room, persistent chat server you can find right on GitHub. Our mission today, pretty simple, give you a clear, beginner-friendly way into understanding what makes this platform special, you know, both for someone just using it and maybe for a developer looking for a cool project. But before we really dive in, we want to give a shout out to the supporter of this deep dive. Thinking about hosting something like MAU might seem like, well, a bit much. SafeServer actually handles exactly this kind of innovative software hosting. They support your digital transformation. Find out more at www.safeserver.de.
And that's a good starting point, because we're not just looking at a simple messenger app here. This is more like a whole communication ecosystem. It's open source, yeah, but it offers features you'd usually expect from enterprise software. Things like persistence, ways to extend it, rich media, stuff that often costs a lot in licensing fees. But here, it's all community-driven, and you get total control over your own data.
Okay, let's start with the basics then. For someone just looking for a better chat platform, if MAU is a chat server, what are the ground rules?
Well, fundamentally, it's built for flexibility for communities. It's free to use. Anyone can set up rooms, public or private. And it's really designed for long-term use. But there's one really key security rule. You have to be logged into chat. This isn't just some anonymous forum.
Right. That immediately tackles a huge issue: online impersonation accountability. And to make sure identities are verified, the sources say it uses OAuth2 authentication. Okay, for those of us not living in the server room, what's OAuth2 in, like, plain English?
Yeah. It's basically the standard way systems delegate identity verification. Think of it like a digital bouncer at a club.
Yeah.
Instead of MAU itself handling your password, it asks a trusted service like GitHub or Google, hey, is this person really who they say they are?
Mm.
So when you sign in, it's verified, and that identity gets linked to that persistent history we need to talk about.
Okay, so verified identities. That security layer lets us trust the chat history more, right? Which brings us to maybe the core idea, persistent and searchable history.
Hmm.
Why should someone new to this care about chat being persistent versus, you know, just disappearing?
Oh, it's a huge difference. Think about standard messengers that knowledge, those discussions. Poof, gone off the screen, lost forever. You lose that collective memory. MAU treats every single conversation, every link shared, every decision made as a permanent searchable entry in a database.
So you can actually find stuff from months ago.
Exactly. Information shared 6 months back is still there, still accessible, still useful today. That's vital for any team or project that actually values retaining knowledge. And importantly, data sovereignty. Knowing your history is yours, it's available, not locked away behind some corporate paywall or subscription fee.
Okay, we've got trust, we've got longevity, that's the foundation. But what about the now? How does MAU make the actual conversation experience better? Let's get into that feature set. What makes it more than just typing?
Right, this is where it really pulls away from basic chat apps. It starts with things like rich markdown formatting, good for making text clear. But what really stands out is how it handles content. It doesn't just show links, it like boxes them up nicely. It supports audio and video directly.
Audio and video, how does it do that?
That's thanks to WebRTC. We can maybe unpack that a bit later.
Okay.
And crucially for some groups, it's brilliant at handling complex stuff like code snippets and tables right there in the chat window.
Oh yeah, I've tried pasting code into normal chat. It's a disaster, scrambled mess, lost formatting.
Exactly. So having proper rendering is a lifesaver for, say, development teams.
Makes sense.
And it's not all serious business either. You've got features like starring messages, voting on things, highlighting important conversations, even embedded games.
Hold on. Embedded games, really? Isn't that much for a serious chat server? I get the persistence and code stuff, but games. Who's the audience for that mix?
That's a fair question.
Yeah.
It does suggest the target isn't just, you know, buttoned up corporate teams. It might be more for open communities, maybe dev teams again, or special interest groups where there's both intense work and a strong social side. But the really clever part is how a lot of this stuff is delivered. Many features, the games, yeah, but also things like persistent notifications, those powerful GitHub hooks for integrating with code repositories.
Let me guess.
Plugins. You got it. They're implemented as plugins.
Ah, so the core system stays stable, but people can add whatever functionality they need?
Precisely. That plugin architecture makes it incredibly flexible and customizable. those GitHub hooks and bots, for instance. They let the chat server become a central hub for tracking development progress, issues, code changes. That's serious enterprise-level stuff delivered in an open way.
Okay, let's switch gears a bit. Let's unpack this for the tech folks or people curious about how it works. We've got all these real-time persistent features. What's actually running the show? What's the tech stack?
Right. If you peek under the hood, it's overwhelmingly JavaScript. The language stats are pretty clear. JavaScript is about 75.7%. Then you've got SCSS for the styling. That's around 16.9%. So if you know JavaScript, you basically hold the keys.
Okay, let's slow down here, though. This technical part can lose people. What's the absolute core, starting with that real-time feel?
Sure. The core engine is built on Node.js. That's the server-side JavaScript environment handling all the back-end logic. And to make the chat instantaneous, which it absolutely has to be, it uses Socket.io.
Socket.io, okay.
Yeah, think of Socket.io as setting up this like permanent fast lane between the server and everyone connected. It pushes updates out instantly. No need to keep refreshing your browser.
Right, handles the speed. But persistence, you said history lives forever. Where is that digital archive stored?
Good question. That involves two main players. The main permanent storage, the heavy-duty database holding all the chat history, user settings, room data that's PostgreSQL.
Postgres. Reliable choice.
Very. Known for being robust.
But Redis is mentioned too. For someone new to this, why have both Postgres and Redis? What's the difference?
Ah, yeah, that's a key architectural point.
Yeah.
PostgreSQL is the long-term archive. Redis is all about speed. Redis keeps certain things like maybe who's currently online or temporary session information in really fast memory, not on the slower disk drive like Postgres. So it acts as a high-speed cache. The server can grab common info super fast from Redis without having to query the big Postgres database every single time.
Okay, that makes sense. Speed layer on top of the permanent store.
Got it.
And just circling back quickly, security and multimedia, we mentioned OAuth too. Is Passport.js the tool doing that?
Yes, exactly. Passport.js is a very common, trusted piece of middleware for Node.js. It handles that verified sign-in process securely.
And the video audio.
Right. The last key tech piece there is WebRTC, Web Real-Time Communication. That's the browser technology that lets you set up secure, direct connections peer-to-peer for live audio and video streams. Essential for calls.
Wow. Okay. So that's a pretty modern and powerful stack. Gives a clear roadmap for any developer wanting to maybe contribute.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us neatly to contributing.
Oh.
Section 4, the open source ecosystem. Looking at the GitHub repo, it's got, what, 549 stars, 73 forks, 22 contributors. That feels pretty healthy, active.
It's definitely a respectable level of community engagement, yeah. And getting involved seems fairly straightforward, partly because it's mostly under the MIT license.
Which means
generally, it's very permissive. It gives contributors a lot of freedom with what they build and how it can be used. Low barrier to entry, legally speaking. And for anyone actually thinking about contributing code, the developers have laid out some clear rules, sort of a how-to guide for contributing responsibly.
Okay, what are the must-do rules if someone wants to submit, say, a pull request with a new feature?
Rule number one is basically, talk first. You must go discuss what you plan to do with the team beforehand. They even give active hours like 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. GMT when you can usually find them in the chat rooms. This avoids people coding something that won't fit or is already being done.
Smart. Avoids wasted effort. What's rule two?
Quality control. You must test your own code thoroughly and run the project's automated test suite before you even think about submitting it.
Discuss first, test always. Makes total sense for something that needs to be reliable.
Exactly. And remember the plugins we talked about.
Yeah, the extensibility.
Right. The contribution guidelines even point out there's a specific channel just for developing plugins. So if you want to add a significant new capability, chances are they'll want you to build it as a plugin. That's actually a great, maybe safer way for newer JavaScript devs to get involved without potentially breaking the main platform.
Good entry point. And if coding isn't your thing right now, but you just want to try Meow out.
The installation docs are available. So you can set up your own server for your own team or community and get the full experience.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. Summing up our deep dive. Meow isn't just another chat app. It's way more. It's persistent. It handles rich media well. It's built on a solid tech stack like Node, Postgres, Redis. And that plugin system makes it super customizable, puts control back with the users.
It really is a comprehensive hub designed for you to own your communication data. Which actually leads to a final thought, maybe a provocative question for you, the listener. Considering everything we've touched on the sheer range of features, from dedicated WebRTC video calls and deep GitHub integration for devs, all the way down to embedded games and voting systems, what kind of really unique, maybe complex community or perhaps some non-traditional organization could genuinely leverage every single aspect of a platform as feature-rich as Meow? Something to think about.
A great question to ponder as you explore the sources yourself. And thanks again to SafeServer for supporting this deep dive. If you're looking for powerful, reliable hosting for software like this, or need support with your digital transformation, check them out at www.safeserver.de. That's all for this deep dive. Keep learning, keep digging. Until next time.